Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, today, as I said, we are wrapping up our series entitled Grounded. And when we're talking about grounded, we're talking about being established and rooted. We're talking about being stable and unbreakable. And this is what we should all desire to be, but not just what we desire to be. This is what we all can be, regardless of the storms that we're facing, regardless of our situation and our circumstances. We can be grounded. We can be stable and unbreakable. You say, Phil, how do you know that for sure? Because of what Jesus said in John 16, verse 33. And Jesus said this to his followers. He said, "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you." Come on, how many of you know right now we need some of that supernatural peace in our world? We need some of that supernatural peace in our homes, and we need some of that supernatural peace in our hearts. And Jesus says, it's available to you. The peace that's in me, I want to give it to you. And then you will, and that will give you great confidence. Look, as you rest in me. So he's saying, look, you can trust me. You can rest in me, and you can rest in me with confidence because you have this peace. Jesus went on to say, for in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. So we should not be surprised when things don't go our way. We should not be surprised whenever we experience some trials in life. But Jesus said, you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. We can live with courage even in the midst of chaos. We can live with courage even in the midst of difficulty. We can live with courage. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ lives in us, and the peace of Christ is dwelling on the inside of us. And that's how we can live life with an inner calm. That's how we can live life with a supernatural peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that peace. You know what? I'm assuming that you want it too. Come on, if you want that calm right now, come on, just type it in the chat. Calm. I need that calm in my home. I need that calm in my relationships. I need that calm on the job. I need that calm, that supernatural calm. I need it. Put it in the chat right now. Calm, calm, calm. That is what we need. And what we've been talking about this series, that if we want that supernatural calm, there are four things that we need to be grounded in. And the first thing that we've got to be grounded in is we've got to be grounded in Christ. We've got to be grounded in Christ. We've got to be grounded in our attitude. That's our mindset and our emotions. We've got to be grounded in light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You've got actions. You've got some responsibilities in the world. And we know that whenever we are grounded in these three things, then and only then can we really be grounded in maturity. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But don't forget what we came into this year saying, this was our year of upgrade, and we were going to get in the upgrade position. We're going to get our eyes up, right? We're going to get our eyes up on Jesus. We're going to keep our head up. We're going to keep our attitude in the right place, keep our mind in the right place, keep our emotions in the right place. And we're going to get our hands up saying, God, we are available to be a blessing. Use us. And you see, whenever you get in that position, eyes up, head up, hands up, only then can you grow up and go up to the level that God is calling you to be. But don't miss this. There is a pattern. We talked about this a little bit last week. There is a pattern. There is an order. And whenever we put these things in order and we start being grounded in Christ and our soul gets nourished and begins to experience some stability, and then we begin to get grounded in our attitude. Come on, nothing's going to be right if our thinking's not right. Nothing's going to get better in our life if our thinking doesn't get better. So we've got to be grounded in our attitude. Then we've got to be grounded in that light. We've got to be grounded in those actions and in those behaviors. Remember, it works that inside out. And as we work that pattern, the culmination of this pattern is going to end with us being grounded in maturity. Now, I've got a little equation for you. I want you to see this in a different way. And whenever we look at the equation, we see that believing plus being plus behaving equals blossoming. Come on, it's exactly the same way that you just saw it. Whenever you have faith in Christ, you put your hope, your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, and your roots grow down into Him, then that begins to influence your being. It begins to transform your being. You begin to think and feel. You begin to be transformed on the inside, and then that begins to bleed over into your behaving and your actions and your conduct, and your habits begin to change. And then what happens? Your life begins to blossom. And this is where maturity happens. Maturity happens when your life becomes fruitful. That's when maturity happens in your life. When you begin to prosper in every area of your life. You see, maturity is not an age. Maturity is a stage. Maturity is not an age. Maturity is a stage. It's a stage of development. It's a stage of process. So maturity is not as much tied to timing as it is to training. It's not as much tied to timing as it is to training. I want you to look at this definition of maturity. It says this, that maturity is having reached an advanced stage of development. It's having reached an advanced stage of development. Now, we understand you don't reach an advanced stage of development in anything without training. You don't reach an advanced stage of development in golf. You don't reach an advanced stage of development in engineering. You don't reach an advanced stage of being a physician just out of time. No. There's only one way you reach that advanced stage, and that is through training. And so we see in life, if we want to be mature, if we want to reach that advanced stage, it's going to come through training. And as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul actually writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Now watch this. He says, don't waste time because you don't have time to waste. Don't waste energy arguing over things that don't matter, because you need to spend your time and your energy doing what? Training yourself to be godly. He goes on and says, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better because it promises benefits in this life and in the life to come." So Paul is writing here and he says, hey, you've got to train yourself to be godly. Whenever we look at training, we could say that training is our method to maturity. It is our method to maturity. Here at North Point, we define discipleship, and really discipleship, becoming a disciple of Jesus, which when you become a follower of Jesus and you choose to follow Him, you want to become a disciple of Jesus. That process of becoming everything that God desires you to be, that discipleship process, what we call that here at North Point, is your process to progress. It's your process to progress. It is your method to maturity. You see, you don't wait your way to maturity. You work your way to maturity. Sure, it takes time, but it takes more than just time. You see, some people are just thinking, well, I'm going to mature. I'm going to change. Things are going to get better. No. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen just by time. No, it takes training. That's why Paul was so specific with Timothy. And he said, you have to train yourself to be godly, because there's really no other way that you're going to become godly. You got to train yourself. When he says to be godly, what he's saying is you got to train yourself to do life God's way. That's what it means to be godly, that you would live life God's way. You see, loving God doesn't necessarily translate into living godly. Let me say that for you again. Loving God doesn't necessarily translate into living godly. Living godly takes training. But I want you to notice there is a benefit. There is a benefit to living godly. Paul tells Timothy that there is a benefit in this life and in the life to come. Now, Paul in another one of his letters, in his letter to the Philippi church in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. This is what Paul writes to them. And he says, hey, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Hey, work hard. So it's kind of along the same line, right? He's telling Timothy, train yourself to be godly. And he's telling the church at Philippi, he's saying, you've got to work hard. You've got to train yourself so that you can show the results of your salvation. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. See, salvation should do more than just produce eternal rewards in your life. Instead, salvation should also produce some results in your life. It should do more than just give eternal rewards. And now eternal rewards, eternal life, come on, that is a beautiful part of the salvation experience. But salvation should do more than that. You should begin to see results in your life. What am I saying? I'm saying you should begin to see things change. Attitude should begin to change. Habits should begin to change. Some behavior should begin to change. Some of your desires should begin to change. There should be change that is evident in your life. But here's the good news. The good news is this: you're not alone in this process. No, as Paul told the church at Philippi, he says, God is working in you. Come on, isn't that good news? That you are not alone. It's not just up to you to do it in your wisdom or in your strength, but come on, you are not alone. God is also working in you. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says this, by his divine power, God has given us everything. Come on, when you say it right now, say everything. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Now, what's a godly life? That's doing life God's way. So it is by his power that you have everything you need to live life the way that God wants you to live life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. You see, because of God, because of his goodness, because of his faithfulness, because of who he is, and because of what he does, you have everything that you need to live this life the way that God has instructed us to live it. And it says here that you have received all of this by coming to know him. Now, let me just point this out just for a moment. See, what you have received is access, but what you need now is process. What you received is access. When you came into relationship with God, you received everything you needed. Why? Because you got access to everything God has. You got access. You got access to his peace. You've got access to his joy. You've got access to his strength. You've got access to his super invading your natural. You've got access, but now what you need is process. You need process. You've got to develop a process of growth, a process of development, a process of developing so that you can reach that place of maturity in your life. Remember what Paul said a moment ago. He said, God is working in you. And God is working in you to give you desire and power, or desire and strength. Maybe we could say it this way, to give you and to create in you desire and discipline. Desire and discipline. Now, here's what I've found about these two. Both of these things are beautiful. And as Paul said, God gives them both, right? Here's what I found is that we pray for desire. Well, you ever been there before, like praying for the desire to do the right thing, praying for the desire not to want to do the wrong thing, praying for that desire. We pray for the desire, but we have to practice the discipline. We pray for the desire, but we have to practice the discipline. The desire is the want to. The discipline is the fight through. I pray for that desire. I pray for that want to, but I've got to practice that discipline of fighting through. I've got to be willing to fight. That's where that training comes in. It's where the training comes in. Let me just give you this thought on discipline. And it is this. You might want to write this down. You might want to take a screenshot of this. And this is that discipline is the continual ability to follow through with the actions necessary to give you what you said you wanted when the feeling of wanting it is absent. I want you to really understand this. This is what discipline is. It is the continual ability. It is not the momentary ability, the seasonal ability. No, discipline is the continual ability to follow through with the actions necessary. There are actions necessary to take you where you want to go. There are actions necessary for you to become who you want to be. So discipline is the continual ability to follow through with these actions necessary to give you what you said you wanted. Now, this is not what somebody else said you should want. This is not what I say you should want. This is what you said you wanted, the life that you said you wanted to live, what you said you wanted to achieve, what you said you wanted to be free from, what you said. It's all about what you said. So this one is giving you what you said when the feeling has already left the building. It's the ability to show up and follow through when the feeling that I had when I said it is absent. You see, we understand this whenever we look at just natural things, right? When we talk about, let's say we, you know, want to get healthy, right? There's a desire. There is a desire to be healthy. Because how many of you know that desire to be healthy, it needs some disciplines. It needs the discipline to go to the gym. It needs the discipline to be able to eat the right foods. I can have a desire to get promoted on my job, but that takes the discipline to work with excellence. It takes the discipline to do every project and every task with absolute excellence. I can have a desire to learn a new language, a desire to learn how to play the guitar, but that takes the discipline of practicing that language or practicing playing that guitar every single day. So now when we bring it into our spiritual lives, we can say, okay, I have a desire to live life God's way. Well, that takes the discipline to be grounded. I have a desire to live life God's way. Now listen, God gave you that desire. That desire is not something you created. There is a desire in you that wants to be in relationship with Him. There is a desire that you have to live a godly life. God gave you that. And then what we have to do is through the power and the strength of God, develop the discipline that it takes to be grounded in what we need to be grounded in. It's the discipline to read our Bibles, the discipline to pray, the discipline to worship, the discipline to serve, the discipline to give. It's the discipline to be in relationship. It's the discipline to get our thoughts in alignment with Him. These are the disciplines that we have to put in our lives. And God gives both. He gives the desire and God gives the discipline. And He gives both because both are necessary and both are needed. I would even go as far to say this, that the desire comes to help form the discipline that is actually going to bring the desire into reality. Okay, so God gives us this desire, and then we have to train ourselves with the strength of the Holy Spirit in this discipline that is actually going to be the thing that brings the desire into our reality. That's why Paul said, train yourself to be godly. He said, work hard to show the results of your salvation. There is a method to that maturity, and that method to your maturity is going to be found in discipline. And here's the reason why, because I can't always count on desire to be there. I can't always count on feeling it. I can't always count on the want to. I've got to develop the fight through. I've got to develop that in my life. You know, during my time of preaching and ministering and leading others, so many times I've seen people early on in their spiritual journey, and they've got this fresh and very genuine desire to follow God and to be who He's called them to be and to live their life for His purpose and His glory. But in the process, they're not really building the necessary spiritual disciplines to carry that out in their lives. And I've had conversations with them, and I say, hey, you just need to know that it's not always going to feel this way. And they respond to me, hey, but you don't know what God has done for me. And I say, yeah. But you better develop the discipline and not just live on this passion. They say, but God's lit a fire on the inside of me that will never, ever go out. And do you know where those people are today? Those people are not where they said they were going to be. Those people are not where they wanted to be. Why? Because they did not develop the fight through. They did not develop the follow through. They did not develop the discipline necessary so that their desire could come into their reality. Listen, we all need desire. Nothing wrong with desire. Nothing wrong with passion. Man, we need that. It is like fuel for us, but we must train ourselves to be godly. We must learn how to work hard to show these results of our salvation, and that will always require discipline. And here's the truth. The truth is we need discipline just to carry out the most basic and foundational things in our Christian life. I mean, let's think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. And there was this Pharisee that asked Jesus this question. They said, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Come on, do you hear what Jesus just said? He said, everything in the Old Testament is based on these two commands, that you would love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and all of your strength. And he says, and there is a second one that is as equally important, and that is that you would love your neighbor as yourself. There is a whole lot of things that you read in the Old Testament. There's a whole lot of things that are in the law. There's a whole lot of things that the prophet said. But Jesus said, if you want to wrap it all up and put it in a box and put a bow on it, it comes down to these two things. These are the most foundational. These are the most structural. These are the most important commandments in the Old Testament. And Jesus says it all starts with loving God. Loving God, it requires emotion, but it also requires action. It is going to get into your feelings, but it also requires follow through. Because you can't just love God in emotion and love God in feeling, because we must also love God with follow through. You say, well, why do you say that? Because of what Jesus told his disciples. This is what Jesus said in John 14, 15. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, if you got feelings for me, if you are emotionally attached to me, then there also needs to be some action. There also needs to be some follow through. Now, have you ever had trouble with obedience? Have you ever done something your way instead of God's way? I mean, I don't know about you, but my hand is up. I've had some trouble in my lifetime with obedience. I've had trouble doing things my way instead of doing it God's way. You see, of course we have, because an overall desire to love God doesn't mean that I will have the momentary desire to obey. Let me say that again. The overall desire of your life could be to love God and even to obey God. But that doesn't mean that I will have that desire in the moment of temptation. that I will have that desire in my moment of fear, that I will have that desire in my moment of doubt, that I will have that desire. You see, it might be an overall desire, but that doesn't mean it's going to be my momentary desire. And this is why we have to train ourselves to be godly. Obedience is about denying ourselves what we want in the moment for what we want most in our lives. I want to say that one more time. I want you to get it. You need to write this one down. Obedience. Obedience is about denying ourselves what we want in the moment for what we want most in our life. Actually, Jesus said it this way, and Jesus probably, you know, said it better than me. So let's see what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Anyone who wants to be my disciple, anybody who wants to be my follower, they must be willing to deny themselves. You see, discipleship demands the discipline of denial. Discipleship demands the discipline of denial, that we would deny ourselves. I love this quote by Joshua Liebman, and it says this: "Maturity is achieved when a person postpones immediate pleasures for long-term values." I love that. He says it's whenever a person is able to postpone the short term for the sake of the long term. It's whenever you have the discipline to say no to what it is in the minute so you can say yes to what you really want in your life. You see, this is what maturity is all about. This is what obedience is about. And this is why we must have discipline. We love God with all of our heart. What does that mean? We obey. We cannot obey without discipline. So we have to have the ability to say no to what is in front of us when we need to say no, so we ultimately say yes to everything that God has for us in the future. But now Jesus, he didn't just say, love God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength. He also said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now let's just think a little bit about that word love. And when you think about love, many times you go to one of the most familiar scriptures in the Bible. You hear this at weddings and different things, and it's in 1 Corinthians 13, and it is Paul's definition or really description of what love is. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says that love is patient and love is kind. He says that love doesn't boast. It's not envious. It's not rude. It's not proud. He goes on to say that love does not demand its own way, that it keeps no record of wrongs, that it is always hopeful, and that it endures through every circumstance. You see, it is so difficult for some people to really love their neighbors because they honestly don't love themselves. It's hard for them to love their neighbors because they really don't love themselves. And if you don't love you, how are you going to be able to love them? Now, let's think about this just for a moment. And let's look at it in the context of the way that Paul described love. Because you might be thinking, well, I do love myself. Well, let's take it into the context of 1 Corinthians 13. And that would be, are you patient with yourself? Are you patient with your flaws and your mistakes? Are you kind to yourself? Are you rude? Do you say things to yourself that you would never say to anybody else? How about this one? Do you keep a record of your wrongs? Like a little tally book where you write every mistake and every flaw, and you keep these regrets from your past just locked away in a secret compartment of your heart. You keep records of wrongs. How about this one? Do you lose hope? Do you lose hope that you can change? Do you lose hope that things are going to get better? Do you lose hope that anything in your life will ever be different? Do you lose hope? You see, whenever Paul begins to describe love, he's not just describing the way that we love others. He is also describing the way that we have to love ourselves. And if we can't love ourselves well, we'll never be able to love others well. That's why Jesus said it. You have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you know, many times the reason that we struggle to love ourselves is because we really don't believe that we are worthy of love. And not only we're not worthy to be loved by others, we're not even worthy to love ourselves because we are not worthy of love. You see, that's why we start our declaration every Sunday and we say this, I am a child of God. I am loved. You see, there is a reason that we start there because so many people have such a hard time wrapping their mind around the fact that God could love somebody like them because they say, but I'm not worthy to be loved. And if you feel like you're not worthy to be loved, then there is no way that you can love yourself. So we start with, I am a child of God. What makes you a child of God? What makes you a child of God is the faith in the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that fact that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you should prove to each and every one of us that we are worthy of love. If God gave his very best gift, if God gave his one and only son, we are worthy to be loved. And if God could love us that much, then we must learn to love ourselves so that we can love those that God puts around us. See, so many times this is where we really miss the mark, and we don't understand. We miss the mark with loving our next door neighbor. We miss the mark with loving our mean coworker. We miss the mark with loving our crazy brother-in-law well. And it's really because I haven't trained myself to see myself or love myself correctly. And if I don't see myself right, I'm not going to see you right. And if I don't love myself well, I'm not going to be able to love you well. You see, until things get right in here, things are not going to be right out there. It's the same way we talked last week about shine, right? We said it's got to be in order, and then I shine out into the world. But the only way I can shine the light is when the light is shining brightly on the inside of me. You see, there is a method to your maturity. There is a process to your progress. There is training that must take place in your life to develop the disciplines that you need so that you might move into maturity in your life. You see, if we train ourselves in this area of loving ourselves, if we train ourselves in this area of loving our neighbor, if we train ourselves in this area of loving God and obeying his commands, then we can move into the place of maturity. You see, we came into this series saying that we needed to be grounded in these four areas. And we're leaving this series saying we've got to be grounded in these four areas. We've got to be grounded in Christ, in our attitude, in our light, so that we can be grounded in maturity. But I want you to see the connection. When you are grounded in Christ, when you are grounded in that love for God, saying, God, I want to love you. I've got this desire to love you. I want to grow in this area. When you're grounded in your attitude, that's happening for yourself. When you learn to love yourself, when you learn to think about yourself in the right way, when you learn to feel about yourself in the right way, you learn to love yourself. And then you get grounded in light, and you get grounded in light by being able to love others, to be able to shine, to be able to do what you need to do, to carry out your responsibility on the earth, to love other people and shine your light into their life. And you see, when you love God and you love yourself and you love others, then guess what you get to live? You get to live the abundant life. You see, this is the equation that we started with today. It's going to be the equation that we end with today. When you get your believing, your being, and your behaving all working together, that's when you get the blossoming in your life. When you believe and you say, God, I'm letting my roots go down into you. God, I'm putting my trust, my hope, my faith in you. I'm letting my roots grow down into you, God. Then that begins to transform your inside. It begins to change your being and your thinking and your feeling about yourself. And then out of you changing and you beginning to feel and think the right way about you, now you can start seeing and thinking and feeling the right way about others, and you can start loving them the way that God is asking you to love them, and you begin to love others, and you begin to behave in that way, then your life will begin to blossom. Your life will be fruitful. Then you will begin to carry out what Jesus said in John 10:10. This is the life that he came for you to have. He came so you would live this abundant life, that you would live life to the full until it overflows. That is the desire of God for your life. But the desire of God for your life will not be seen in your life without the discipline to carry it out. We must train ourselves to be godly. We must work hard. We must work hard to show the results of our salvation, knowing that God has given us everything we need. He's given us the desire and the strength, the desire and the discipline to be who he created us to be and to do what he created us to do. And whenever we are grounded in these things, guess what? We get to live with the calm because we are living in the overflow of peace. We are living in the abundance of joy. We are living in the overflow of his purpose, his presence, and his power. And I know that's what I want. And I know that's what you want as well. Let's get grounded. Let's get grounded so we can experience this in all of our lives. Come on, can we pray together right now? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. God, we thank you in moments like this that we can call upon your name and you are there for us. Right now in this moment, you say, Philip, man, I need a real relationship with God. I need to come into this fresh, genuine, powerful relationship with God. Or maybe it's just been a long time. You say, Philip, I just need to connect with God. God is there for you right now in this moment. You say, Philip, that's what I need. I need a fresh start. Philip, I need to connect with God. All you need to do right now is say, God, that's me. Come on, right there where you are, just say, God, that is me. God hears you right now. He hears you and he is moving in your life. He is moving towards you right now in this moment as you are reaching for him, as you are calling for him. God is coming right now to be everything that you need. And maybe you say, Philip, right now, I need that calm in my life. I've got to get grounded. I've got to get grounded. I've got to get grounded in Christ, grounded in attitude, grounded in light, because I want to be mature. I want my life to be fruitful. If that's you right now, say, Philip, I want to move to this place of maturity. I want to move to this place of blossoming, this place of fruitfulness in my life. And you say, Philip, that's me. Come on, just say it again. Say it out loud. Say, God, that's me. God, he's talking to me right now. I want to be fruitful. I want to blossom. I want to live that abundant life. Father, you hear every single person right now that's saying, God, I need to connect with you. You're in every person saying, God, that's me. I want to live the abundant life. I want to blossom. I want to be fruitful. I want to be grounded. I need that calm in my life. Father, I pray right now that you would meet them where they are. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to transform them from the inside out, that they might be who you created them to be and do what you created them to do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, put a big amen on that right now. Hey, I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for leaning into this series of grounded, of being established and rooted, of being stable and unbreakable. This is not something that we can just desire to be. This is something that we can be. And with all of the things that are happening in your life and all the things that are happening in our society and in our world, we need to make sure of one thing. we stay grounded, rooted, and established during this season of life. I just want to say thank you for being with us as we journey through this series. And hey, next week we've got a special treat because Pastor Destiny is going to be preaching next week, and you don't want to miss it. So I will see you right back here next Sunday. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.